When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This week in league, the West Tigers amend their logo to reflect the fact they don't have any claws.
Dane Laurie cops a massive punishment for celebrating in a Panthers jersey, being named the West Tigers' best player.
Tyrone May changes his surname to Gaia as his role in the club is reduced to fucking the halfback's sister.
Plus, we look ahead to all the action for the off-season of the 2021 NRL season.
All that and more this week in league. Welcome to episode 439 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
How you feeling, fellas?
Great.
A bit flat, like it's over now. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm still on cloud just, one.
I literally can't even fucking remember who won the grand final anymore. I can't even remember who was in it.
Well.
Like, that's how far the season's gotten away.
The West Tigers won the premiership. Our fullback was fucking celebrating like a fucking motherfucker.
It is a good thing, then, that I shall be here to remind you that Penrith indeed won the premiership. The most hard-fought and greatest premiership in the history of the sport.
Oh, righto. That's it, boys. I've had enough.
The biggest asterisk season since the Storm were cheating the Cap.
With nothing but great guys in the team. Who did things like proposed to their long-time childhood sweetheart.
That's actually toxic masculinity, trying to force a decision on her in a public environment where she would be obliged to not say no through embarrassment.
Or he believes that strongly about equity that he could not accept his ring without offering one to her. Then, by giving her a lap dance to Genuine's pony, because it is absolutely polite to ask somebody if they are horny and then to suggest that you do it.
Oh, I mean, like, it is the fucking gold. It is the gold standard of fucking stripper songs.
Yeah.
If there's a better fucking stripper song, I've not fucking heard it.
Which is funny, because strippers don't normally have ponies.
Well, yeah, I guess.
What about you, Glennie? Have you got a go-to song for when Mrs. Glennie's feeling a little bit frisky? And
when she's feeling like she might want to finally fucking, you know, choke you for the first time?
I tend not to play a lot of music because I like it really quiet so I can just make sure that she's still breathing.
Jesus, that got dark.
Man, I don't even want to unpack that anymore. Glenn, let's change the subject. You've ruined it, Glennie. Remember?
You've gone and fucked it.
It's squeeze, not press.
Gotcha. Are we still talking about the metal straw in the urethra sides of your corpse? Are we still talking about that?
No, that was pre-show discussion.
Yeah, I know. But
that's not suitable for the ears of children.
Bringing the DMs out into the timeline here, Glennie.
Only part of it, just to give people a little taste of the quality.
God.
Yeah, right. Look, this week with the news, it's been nothing but bad fucking behaviour from top to bottom. And I've just this is in no order, of course, but this is the order of the tabs that I've got set up here. But the first story is I need you to comment, Glennie, on this ridiculousness from Dane Laurie in his debut Panthers jersey from last year, driving around, throwing up the fucking double shuckers, celebrating Panthers winning the grand final on Sunday night.
Mate, he's just happy for his mates. Just celebrating, you know, celebrating with his mates.
on this show, we have on numerous occasions talked about how it grinds your fucking gears when your team gets beaten by 40 and the players are having a laugh as they're walking off the field and cracking jokes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
This takes that to a whole new level.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah. Look, it's not a great look. I've got to admit, it's not. And look,
honestly, him like celebrating, you know, and being happy for his mates, there's not a problem in the world with that. But I don't think he had to fucking LARP and cosplay like a fucking Panthers player when he is paid to. I mean, it's the same as, like, for example, a friend of ours that we all know works for a very well known international brand, fashion brand, let's say.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
Stop trolling. He does.
No, he doesn't. He works for, at best, a second tier fucking imitator of a global sports technology giant.
Listen.
Wow.
Now is not the time for you to try and diminish things. Making the point that if he is seen in the other gear, he'll lose his fucking job straight up.
Yeah, nah, he won't, because he's done it. And it's NRL related. I won't spoil that story. I'll let him do it.
Yeah, yeah. And now I know what you're talking about. I do remember that.
Yeah,
he made that mistake. But he made that mistake. Well, that wasn't that recent though, either, was it?
Oh,
I think he made that fuck up fairly
early.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, there's stories of you do tours of the Pepsi factory.
Yes.
And like somebody says, oh, you know, such and such Coke, and they legit get the shits and say, we prefer not to use the imitator's name in here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've had friends growing up, you know, that work for McDonald's and stuff, and you say you work at McDonald's at a Westfield or something, you can't be in your McDonald's gear
eating KFC
and then roll up to KFC and grab a feed.
That's it.
So that's the sort of thing that this is, except on he's being paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to represent one club, he grew up with them, he made his debut for them,
but it's also not like there are a bunch of people who eat McDonald's and only eat McDonald's and are passionate about McDonald's above and beyond any other sort of fast food.
Yeah, outside of the administration itself to get angry about it, but actually like fans of McDonald's
that are going to
lynch this fucking kid on the fry station because he went and ate KFC.
He has some fucking poor kid that's probably contemplating getting him tattooed on himself.
Oh, yeah.
You know? There's not going to be some little fucking mentally handicapped person that sees you in your fucking Macca's uniform hoeing into a zinger that then wants to question everything they hold dear in life. That will legitimately happen with sports teams.
But now if someone's going to get a Dane Laurie tattoo, it has to be that photo.
100% it does. I'm going to get one.
But if you're a Tigers fan,
do you get the guy
to put a Tigers jersey on him though if you're getting the tattoo, Lenny?
No, fuck no. As
I'm
is.
I'm going to get Premier's 21 with that underneath it.
I'll tell you what, imagine
fuck, he looked happy though. I'll give him that. He looked happy, and it's the happiest I've seen him all year.
Interesting though. Okay, so, like, obviously, because Penrith's such a fertile nursery, what do they say? 13 of that grand final team were local juniors.
Mm.
Right? Or 13 were.
Came through
the system, which is fucking massive. Like, that is a massive achievement, especially in this day and age where, you know, clubs like Melbourne and the Roosters exist.
Mm-hmm.
If you go through your team, Nate, could you definitively say who your players supported as kids?
No, you really only hear the stories. Very rarely you hear. Like, for me, the only time I've heard of players, clubs that they supported that were different to the ones that they ended up ultimately playing with when they started their playing career, the only ones that stick in my mind are ones that I heard were Manly fans growing up.
And that's the thing, you only hear about those because they're like, the dream come true, I was a Manly fan growing
up.
Well,
no. These the two that immediately come to mind that were Manly fans growing up but never played for Manly.
Oh, never played, sorry.
Yeah, Wendell Saylor and Woodsy.
Oh,
so,
fucking dodged one there.
Fucking oath we did. And let me tell you, we really thank fuck. I just wanted to be just a moment of, like, you know, grateful, you know, just to express my gratefulness to Anthony Griffin for paying Woodsy what he thinks he's worth. I've seen Dragons fans say, oh yeah, we only paid him like, you know, we're only paying him like 200 grand. No, you're not.
I'll tell you
why you're not, because he was offered that from a club that's fucking top four club and he didn't take it.
There's a diagram of the Predator fucking bicep flex with you and me, and in the middle is Anthony Griffin's recruitment.
Yeah.
and he's Wendell Saylor, what a fucking example. You know, spent all of his career, won multiple premierships with the Broncos.
Mm-hmm. But well, not all of his career, he finished up with the Dragons.
Most of his career.
But what
I'm saying is, which club is he now an ambassador for?
Well, I mean, the club he finished his career with.
Exactly.
Ultimately, yeah. And also that his son, I mean, well, his son was playing with, didn't he? But he got, Tristan's gone too, isn't he?
Yeah, he got punted, didn't he?
Didn't fit Anthony's colour chart.
Yeah.
The old Griffin Dulux pamphlet.
Honestly, like not being a Tigers fan, like if it was one of my guys doing that, I would be fucking furious. I'm not even going to try and I'm going to rise above it. Boy, I'm the one that hates the guys laughing on the field when they get flogged more than anyone.
What do the Tigers do? They go out and continue to name him as their best player for the year.
Can I tell you how unacceptable it is? If that happened to the Mozzies when one of them won a premiership and the other one didn't, and the fucking twin was celebrating his brother winning a premiership with the other
wearing
team jersey.
Wearing the jersey.
That would even be unacceptable.
Yeah.
It's, wearing the jersey, though. Like, I mean, it's the wearing the jersey. Like, I'm happy for him to be happy for his buddies who are, like, probably among his best friends. Yep. But, like, throwing the jersey on and doing laps down the fucking Mulgore or whatever, I mean, that's... Yeah, you're taking it too far, son.
Yeah, that's it.
In a pandemic, too, like...
Very West Tigers of you to rush up there, Dane.
Yeah.
You've rushed up.
Yep. Let's see what more bad behaviour I can look up here. We've got... escalating bad behaviour this week, actually. We had the Melbourne Storm situation. Just wanted to get your guys' opinion on what do you make of this Melbourne Storm situation whereby they had the press conference and they were talking about the white powder, never saying what it was or confirming what it was. The players were apparently too drunk to recall what the white powder was that they ingested in the videos that were released.
Yeah, fuck.
And
they weren't drug tested.
And so Munster got hit financially pretty hard. He got a suspended fine of $100,000. He's been axed from the Storm's leadership group. The NRL have fined him 30 grand and suspended him for a match. Brandon Smith was fined 15 grand and suspended for a match, and Chris Lewis was fined 4,000 and suspended for a match. And then they have to go through some training and education stuff, you know, directed by the NRL.
Is the training centred around not doing drugs or finding better mates that don't videotape you doing drugs?
They've just got to sit down with Mr. Mackey and it's just like, yeah, drugs are bad, okay?
Maybe they should have put on their bucket list, don't have a mate film you doing drugs, because only shit cunt mates don't respect people's bucket lists.
I mean, exactly. Open up a drawer and say, okay, phone's in the drawer, boys.
That's it.
Phone can go in the drawer or in the fucking pool.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
Tell me where you want it.
I was thinking about this today, and I'm a little bit shocked that Bellamy didn't see, because the fatal combination here is Cheese and Munster.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And especially Cheese and Munster without that calming influence of the Smiths, the Kronks, whatever. Now, this is only me making wild assumptions, right? I'm pretty sure that, I don't want to say Smith and Kronk never partook in any of that stuff. You know, I don't know. But I guarantee you that if they did, again, I'm not saying they did, if they did, they would have done the whole, you know, fuck, there are some rules about this shit. Phones in the drawers, this and this and this and this and this, mm-hmm. and this and this. But just that combination of Munster's loose side and Cheese's loose side without controls around it.
Yeah.
I reckon Bellamy will be kicking himself for not seeing that tornado before it happened.
But what's he going to do? Like, how does he stop that?
Well, you would put minders in place for stuff like that, because you would understand that up until that point, there were the old heads there that kept things sensible. Because 100%, it's
but
not
a
like...
minder's only effective if they have an element of respect for the minder. Otherwise, they will just go out of their way to fucking duck him.
I think, yeah, if the minder's again, installed by the coach where the respect is...
Yeah, they're the coach by proxy.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's not that the minder's there saying, don't do cocaine.
Yeah.
The minder is there saying, if we're going to do cocaine, are there any telephones out?
Yeah.
You know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, fair call.
Hey, if we're going to go for a walk down to the bar to get some drinks, does anyone have any cocaine on them? Because if you have cocaine on you, we're going to need to leave the cocaine here.
Yep.
That sort of stuff. You know? Moving on from that, the rates of that sort of illicit drug use in Australia are that ridiculously prevalent. I also think there's a missed opportunity for a larger conversation here. The media seem to be very stuck, and the fucking public seem to be very stuck in this 1980s, oh, just say no to drugs. Just say no to drugs. That's only a small percentage of people, and they're down and out, no hopers,
yep.
that use drugs. It's not the fucking way it is, and anyone that's spent any time, you know, out there, and especially around young people, it is fucking everywhere.
That does apply to some people, though. I mean, at the grand final, there was an example of someone that really should have listened to someone telling them, say no to drugs, be that alcohol, well, or whatever, no, the fuck else, give me a pee.
That was that person's parent. And I don't see how it's fair for you to blame him on fetal alcohol syndrome. But I really think that there's a missed larger conversation here, instead of just doing the whole, oh, drugs, terrible, drugs.
Yeah.
So bad. They took drugs. Why? You know, why do they feel the need for it? Why is there such easy access to it? You know? But I also think it was pretty poor for them to... And I understand why they did it. So while I think it was poor, there were good reasons why it was a white powder. It was just a white powder. It was just a white powder.
Yeah.
That, you know, if they come out and say that we were doing cocaine, that's a one-way ticket to charges.
Yeah.
It seemed like they had some fairly handy legal advice as to how to structure that conversation.
Yeah, not be drawn into anything.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so while we were talking, I did have a look at it, and they are going to be required to support community-based programs such as In League in Harmony and youth programs in partnership with local government partners and local rugby league clubs.
Yep.
So, look, the Storm say they're holding them accountable for their actions. Only half as accountable as Reece Walsh is being held for his actions.
Yeah.
Mm. But
although, again, Reece Walsh has done very well here.
Mm-hmm.
But if it wasn't the police that pulled the cocaine out of his pocket, would he have admitted to it?
Mm.
You know, well, he wouldn't have even been. It wouldn't have even hit the papers.
Yeah, but no. If there was a photograph of him,
yeah, right.
Would, yeah, I dare say he would be on the white powder bandwagon as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
knowing the Melbourne Storm, I'm sure they'll spin it and there's be a third-party endorsement deal with fucking Nappy Sand or something as, with cheese and Munster up front going, you know how we love the white powder, slip it into your wash.
Yeah, I can tell you 1,000% that is not going to happen.
Well, then all of a sudden they rail this massive line and be like, oh, that doesn't feel right. And then it cuts to their baby with all the other babies licking their nappy and going off their heads. Fucking the latest out of Melbourne. Did you hear the latest out of Melbourne?
What's that?
There's a teacher has started a fucking class action to say that they should not be forced to get the vaccine.
Oh, God.
And still be able to teach kids, including kids with compromised immune systems.
I mean, that teacher could move up and become the fucking king of Byron Bay with that kind of attitude.
Is that a title? Who currently holds that title? Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth, I think, yeah. Now, as we go down the slide of bad behaviour, we go to the next incremental level. Well, it's not incremental, it's fucking far worse. Oh, Rocks and Diamonds himself, Manu Vadavai, faces life in prison after amending his plea and pleading guilty to the drug import scandal, which was revolved around the importation of methamphetamine. And this is almost a two-year legal saga, although his name was suppressed for quite a while, and it was just sort of known as one of the biggest names in New Zealand sport. But then, it was probably like late last year, I think, when his name finally came out, and he was one of four people arrested in 2019 following a joint investigation with the county's Manukau Police and Customs into methamphetamine supply. And he's been charged with importing, possessing and supplying methamphetamine in September, October and November of 2019. And he had some additional allegations around him as well, but because he's pleading guilty to the main one they want, they're going to drop those ones. And life in prison awaits.
When the Kiwis do that, does that mean life as in life in Australia or life as in life in America?
It's an excellent question, and one for one of our Kiwi listeners, I presume.
Nice.
But, I know what you're saying, like how we consider a life sentence to be whatever. The maximum penalty is life in prison.
Yep.
However, he is free on bail at the moment.
Okay.
With a curfew.
Yeah, it's not like any fucking airports are open anyway. What's he going to do?
Well, the thing, yes, you're free on bail. Oh, we're in stage whatever lockdown, so you can't leave your house. So at the moment, free on bail in New Zealand is equal to house arrest anyway. So,
fuck, I tell you
so
what.
So it sounds good on paper.
They're doing it tough over there. Shout out to all our New Zealand listeners, fans. Fucking stay strong. Shit will get better. Get vaccinated. Don't be like those shit cunts in Melbourne.
Don't to be fair, me. Manu Vadavai was actually just trying to make it better for them, and he's fucking now got life in prison. I mean, fair enough, his fucking methods are a little questionable, but the intent was there.
He was also doing it like 3 or 4 months before COVID hit New Zealand. So I mean, it's fair to say he's like some kind of clairvoyant or perhaps time traveller.
So the real crime here was that he just used up all of the cold and flu medication.
Exactly.
There was no Codral left in the entire country. Fucking hell. Look, it's fucking sad, hey.
It is sad. Like, just like looking at it, you know, from a non-legal, you know, from just like a straight-up rugby league fan perspective, I mean, it is sad because he is one of those guys. He's one of those names of New Zealand rugby league.
Yeah.
That, you know, you think of first. Really, I mean, like, you think of, like, you know, Kiwi rugby league players, sort of like the sort of modern era, you think, like, you know, guys like, you know, like Benji and Stacey Jones. Yeah. And, like, Manu's, like, one of he's pretty up there.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I would just love to know what his okay, I'll do it moment was.
Yeah.
Money.
Was it money? You know, was he in financial trouble? That's sad in itself.
Yeah.
Was it the the power? Was it, you know, some sort of organization and he was near the top and felt important? Or was it just that he lacked a rush of something? Like he gave the game up and he didn't have that outlet every week?
Well, maybe he just liked to smoke rocks. Who knows? I'm sure it'll all come out in his book eventually. But he's going to have a lot of time to write, I would dare say. Well, he's pleaded guilty, so really it's just down to sentencing now, isn't it? So,
I believe his book's going to be called "Because You Can't Smoke Diamonds."
Maybe.
Ooh, nice.
Ghostwritten by Glenn Blakely.
I'll have a go.
I was playing the Tigers one day, and on the way I saw this place. It was called Ed's. I made it my life's mission.
And everyone there was fucking on crack.
And I thought to myself, wouldn't it be great if AIDS was a whole country? And I decided to make it so.
I want to be the king of AIDS.
He's like, they're making all these fucking Hobbit movies over here, but I mean, like, fuck Middle Earth, bro. We'll turn it into Middle AIDS.
And I tell you,
jot that down, Nathan.
With this pandemic, if I cannot go to AIDS, I will make AIDS everywhere. AIDS is everywhere, man. AIDS is everywhere, man.
Jesus Christ, we're
lose
broken
teeth
in the song.
Hair, man.
Lose your teeth and hair, man.
Now, the last story that I have here to talk about this evening is prior to the grand final, just after the grand final, word came out that it looks like that the Dolphins are going to be officially announced as the official the NRL Brisbane expansion team to join the competition in 2023. And further to that, it looks like, as you know, a lot of people, you know, kind of inferred, is that Wayne Bennett looks like he will be the inaugural coach of the Redcliffe Dolphins NRL side. I guess it remains to be seen. I mean, if it's going to be, you know, the Brisbane Dolphins or something like that, actually, you know, if they go through, I can't imagine they're going to change their branding too much. But
would they? Hang on, what are the Roosters officially called now? Are they the Sydney Roosters, or are they back to the Eastern Suburbs Roosters?
They're Sydney Roosters, aren't they? They changed their name to like Sydney City or something at one point, but then I think they just went to Sydney, didn't they?
Because remember they did that thing where they just got rid of all the fucking directions, and it was the Sydney Rabbits and the Sydney Roosters and the.
I think that was done on an individual individual club by club basis, and the Roosters were trying to position themselves for a world where perhaps they rationalised the numbers of clubs in Sydney, so they wanted to put their flag in
the
ground. Yeah, so the Sydney, they changed, I think, to be the Sydney Roosters. So then if in some future timeline there was a rationalisation and they started cutting out some Sydney clubs, they'd be like, well, we put our flag in the dirt with the Sydney Roosters. So,
less respect for history than the Tigers. Fuck.
We're not a suburban club anymore. We're Sydney Roosters, so we've planted our flag, so you can't get rid of us.
So Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne, the rest of you fight over what's left.
Yeah, fair
enough.
North Queensland, Gold Coast. Yeah.
So what, the North Brisbane Dolphins?
Yeah, maybe it's a
bit. Do they call them the Redcliffe Dolphins? Because, you know.
There's no difference to calling it like the Cronulla Sharks.
That's
or
it. It was
like
the Illawarra Steelers.
Yeah. Only St. George. I don't see why they couldn't be. I mean, it gives them a point of difference because, I mean, what the Crushers were South Queensland Crushers. Back in the day, which is a bit fucking bit cumbersome.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah. So but you know, looks like it's going to happen. Yeah, I'm not a massive fan of 17 teams. You know, I'd rather go up by two, but I think two is really stretching it. So looks like we're going to be back into the old bye era, and it's the more traditional bye where you don't have to play the Bulldogs to get the 2 points. So
Do you reckon there'll be another announcement, perhaps, that some like Perth or someone like else will come in?
No,
also in 2023.
Not for this 2023. I don't think.
Yeah, okay.
I think they have realised that there is a talent drought. Or there is a disparity in the allocation of talent.
I just think they want to stage it out. They just want to stage it out, and the reason why the Brisbane team was the first one to come through is because it all comes hand in hand with this additional money they're trying to extract from, you know, from the broadcasters to get a new side in, and also to reduce the number of Channel 9 games that the Broncos have. So it's all very strategic around that, and I hesitate to use the word strategic, and, you know, with some of the decisions the NRL makes at the moment, because it's pretty fucking dumb and at some times. And case in point is the story that I saw come out this afternoon, where the NRL have bowed to the pressure from their media partners and decided to scale down the digital content arm, so NRL.com, which is going to result in several redundancies. So, their recently appointed Chief Customer and Digital Officer, Alexi Baker, apparently says to improve the experience and better serve fans, they're going to streamline operations at the NRL to save costs. And
fuck,
that basically means that the accurate, non-sensational stories that we could rely on by going to NRL.com and the video features and all that sort of stuff is going to, by and large, go bye-bye. Yeah. They're looking at about 10 redundancies going to take place, and basically they want to move, the NRL will work more closely with Nine, move away from creating news-focused content themselves, and News Corp, of course, and Foxtel.
Yeah.
So basically the NRL website will be going back in time to, you know, a couple of years ago, where all you're going to get in there is, rather than having news, you're just going to get like highlights videos and,
yeah,
you know, some short form content.
I'll tell you, it fucking pains me, because one of my greatest joys this year has been the NRL post game content.
Yep.
And even I know we fucking ragged on the man's coaching mercilessly, but they've got Siebes on there from time to time.
Yep.
And if you remember, who was one of the greatest post-game analysts that you've ever seen on TV? Also another horrible coach.
Oh, Trent.
One close Robinson. To my heart. No, Matt Elliott.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, and I think of him more as a radio guy, because, I mean, you know, you always hear him on ABC Grandstand.
Yeah. So, no, I have a television, so I don't listen to ABC Grandstand. I also don't call things the wireless.
You're a cunt of a thing.
But
I hope you watch your television while you're driving sometime, you fucking cunt, and indulge yourself in the great fucking Panthers tradition of fucking wrecking yourself in a car.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what though, as I crash into the tree, do I pretend to be Ben or Dane? I've got choices now. Which Panthers great do I want to be? But tell you what, Harvard did not teach him how to coach, fucking certainly did teach a man how to lecture. Goes all right, Siebes. It's absolutely fucking horrid. Imagine being that subservient to your partners, where you will hamstring the only leverage you have against them in the future. At what stage in any school of negotiation is fuck yourself in the future a viable tactic? Now, I understand there are times, like when COVID hit, and they had to bend over a little bit because technically they were in breach of supplying content for the contract they had.
Yep.
But, you know, you've had record-breaking seasons. You've had a successful interstate season, which has brought, you know, many new fans to the game that wouldn't have got involved otherwise, just by osmosis of the amount of different teams that could see live football in their local area. And And to go out and say that, well, hang on, no, this is our product that we produce. We can't make additional content as we are existing in the fucking content age.
Yeah.
It's
extremely narrow-minded and short-sighted, but unsurprising. Yeah. To be quite honest,
and they were so close. Like, I mean, there's a guy that a friend of mine, and Glenn, that, you know, Glenn to me as well. He was working on the app where we would get the free streaming games every week.
Yeah, I remember that.
And as part of the Telstra, the Telstra package.
Yep.
If you're a Telstra mobile subscriber, then they scaled that back, and then it was like, oh no, now we're gonna claw that back, and that's not gonna take place on the NRL app anymore. It's gonna take place through Foxtel and KO and stuff like that. And we'll give you a discount for the first year to ease the pain, but you're paying for that now.
Yep.
And now it's just they were in a place like 3 years ago where they were just on the precipice where they could have fucking jumped over the edge and had their own amazing streaming platform. Like consumers of NFL and NBA have access to,
yeah.
And then in 2 to 3 years, it's been absolutely fucking gutted back to like the fucking whatever the fucking NRL website was in like 2010, where it's just scores, match recaps, highlights. And that's it. It's fucking piss week, man. It's fucking piss week.
And look, here's the thing: the NRL only have themselves to blame. Do you remember when Dave Smith, the actual fucking ex-banker,
yeah,
got in a room
and derided said, for the fact that he was the banker.
Well said, hang on a second. Why is for this TV rights negotiation meeting, why am I meeting with Channel 9 and Fox at the same time? Aren't they competitors? Yep. Oh, well, yeah, but we always just negotiate together. Fucking good. Tell them not anymore. Tell Nine to bring what they've got to the table. Tell Fox to bring what they've got to the table. And away we fucking go. This is a three-way negotiation now.
Yep.
And he was fucking... From that day, his days were numbered.
Yes. Mm.
It's fucking horrendous.
Yep.
It's done.
The perception that Nine in particular, but also Fox, own the game, essentially...
Yeah, they do,
and they believe it. Can you look at NFL? Can you look at any of the broadcasters in the States? And I know it's set up differently, but could you imagine what the NFL would do to a broadcaster that suggested or implied or had the inclination that they owned the game? They would crush them.
We would like some input into how your scheduling works, please.
Yeah.
You fucking what, mate? Really? It's and the only thing that I'm waiting for is for Jeff Bezos to run out of shit to buy and to go, oh, there's this fucking dinky sport that's played in a couple of countries, but it seems to be really popular in this side of Australia. Maybe he comes here for a holiday and stays at Redcliffe. He falls in love with the Dolphins. And just to come and fucking offer Amazon money to the NRL.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's going to take to break this stranglehold. And I fucking hope it happens sooner rather than later. Because for what they spent on one season of that Top Gear ripoff...
Yep.
They could buy 5 seasons of NRL. They could just outbid Fox and Nine. Yep. Stick it on Amazon Prime. There you go. There's an entire fucking demographic captured.
Yep. And like it's piss weak for the NRL to fucking go down this route. And fuck, it's so fucking cowardly and just fucking subservient cuck behaviour. But then to dress it up and say they're doing it in the interest of serving the fans better.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, fuck, go fuck yourselves.
That's spin.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but it's just fucking the most cowardly shit.
Yeah, but plenty of fans would fucking eat it up too.
Righto, boys. Let's get our media accreditation. Yeah.
who's gonna eat up less content?
P People would take plenty of people would take what the NRL will give them, mate.
But this is less. What you're getting is less out of it. Like there's, it's not like the NRL decreases the amount of stuff that they handle, and then and conversely, Foxtel and the and Channel 9 are going to bump up the amount of content they produce. They're going to have the same old cunts fucking arguing at each other.
I agree with you. I'm saying they spin it and said, you know, we're better serving the fans. Plenty of people will go, oh, the serving is better, sweet, and just keep fucking lemmings, you know, being little lemmings.
Dumb fucking holdouts from the meat raffle era of club management, which isn't that fucking distant.
Nah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can still smell the fucking meat raffles from here. We're not that far removed from it. And any attempts that the game makes to kind of, you know, professionalize itself a little bit more and actually run itself like, God forbid, a fucking business, eventually gets shot down by, you know, these dumb cunts. And so let's hope we get a generation of educated businessmen because we're only just now getting rid of the fucking holdouts from the days of when guys were fucking brickies on, you know,
yeah,
brickies by day, and you know, like, and those guys move into administration because they played 300 games for a club and whatever. I mean, you know, once they're all gone, maybe.
Tell you what, all my sad feelings have gone because I've just opened up an email.
Yeah.
About the Penrith Panthers grand final memorabilia. Oh, one Destiny poster in my cart. Thank you very much.
God.
Look at this. I'm going to hold it up to the Skype camera here.
That's fucking stupid.
Look at it. Oh, it's glorious. So
fucking stupid.
What about it? It should be called Incestiny.
Yeah, it should be called Incestiny. Well, excellent, Glennie.
Even drop that down, Nathan.
Yeah, Incestiny.
It is possible for a father to hug his son without George pelling him.
But why is he cupping his balls then?
Yeah, exactly. And what's happening below where the photo is cut off? That's the question on everyone's lips.
No, it's on your lips because everybody else would understand that while they are having a firm embrace at shoulder height, both of their Japs eyes are shaking hands as well.
And that other photo, there's...
Like this, Glenn, like this.
Incestiny like this. In the space dock. Oh. That's it. That's enough for news. Moving on.
Can I just go on the record as saying that Tyrone May is an absolute fucking piece of shit?
Yes, you can.
In fact, it's better coming from you.
Who?
Frankly.
Now, look, no one's missed it. Everyone's seen it. He released an Instagram post, and it was the photo of him leaving court earlier in this year after being sentenced after the rat bag scandal.
Yep.
And he put some Drake lyrics on it. The idea of best case scenario, right? And I'm saying this because things are very rarely best case scenario. It is a fucking poorly chosen set of lyrics trying to imply that he has learned and tried to grow as a person.
Well, I don't think it's implying that. I think people have put challenges on him. No, even then, no, I think the best case scenario is not even that good. The best case scenario is saying that he has had a whole bunch of challenges dumped upon him by outside forces and he has risen up through them. And overcome them.
Oh yeah, external negativity. That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
What it is more than likely though is at the same time, cast your mind back. One of the comments of the judge was that he was quite obviously not remorseful, and it's funny. I've got a couple of people very close to me, who are in the legal business, and they always say the same thing about fuckwits. They say that it is very easy to tell a fuckwit because they think that they're a special case and that a judge hasn't seen 1,000 people like them before.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that he would have gone into that courtroom thinking he'd fooled the judge and, you know, faked all his remorse, and it would have been a fucking bitter pill when the judges picked him and gone, nah, there's no fucking remorse there whatsoever.
Yep.
It is the fucking clearest example that we have seen in recent memory as to why it should be the, like, the no-fault stand-down policy, that's fine.
Yep.
But what we then need is, if you are found guilty, then you are not welcome in the game. You may work in the periphery of the game in a capacity approved by the NRL in order to atone for your mistakes, such as domestic violence outreach programs, sexual violence outreach programs, community work for disadvantaged communities and victims of sexual violence and domestic violence, that sort of thing. If you choose to do that with your life now, we welcome that work from you in and around the game. But if you are found guilty of something like that, then there is no redemption story for you. You are free to go and earn a living anywhere else you please, but not here. And I've used this analogy 1,000 fucking times. If you get done for fucking identity fraud, then you cannot go and work in the finance industry. If you get done for money laundering, you cannot go and work in the finance industry. You can't do it. They don't say that you can never work anywhere else, but you cannot come back here. You are not welcome. You know? And so to have that, and then have Tyrone May, who is a fucking passenger all year. Even in the grand final, what's his memorable contribution? Come on, drop a ball.
Dropped it, fucking, gave Souths a sniff.
Yeah. Now, again, I reiterate here that your abilities and contributions as a football player have nothing to do with this side of things. But just have the position where he can see this as... And I'm sure it was difficult for him, because in his head, he would still be the victim.
Yeah.
But even to be able to portray on social media that... I've come to the end of this. I've broken free of this oppression, of this dark time.
I've risen above the, I've risen above the haters.
Yeah. Now, I also don't want to say that one horrendous act in your life, and it was fucking horrendous, that one horrendous act tars you from doing good things and being able to be recognised for doing good things. I am by no means saying that his life is now hopeless and that he cannot achieve positive things in his life and he should not try to achieve positive things in his life. But it should not be around the game, especially when it comes to violence against others, in particular sexual violence. It just shows such a disconnect from what's important and just such a... an ignorant arrogance by the NRL, by the Penrith Panthers, you know? What else could have happened? It's an environment where you are forced to become close with those in your team. So, of course, they're going to be celebrating with him. Now, again, I'm not excusing them, but I'm also saying, well, what are they expected to do, like, in that situation?
Oh, they can celebrate with him, but I mean, when you get direct connections towards his crimes, when Bill Kickow's on Instagram Live and someone asks a question in the comment section and says, "Where's the sex offender?" and he gets up and goes and finds Tyrone May, and then Tyrone May just starts dropping M bombs about how close their friendship is, and
I really think that there needs to be deeper work put into what we do when there is a conviction or when there is a guilty verdict. And again, you don't want to flush anyone's life down the toilet. The game, I'm sure, would give them all the counselling available and help with their transition. But this issue is bigger than football. Yeah, rant fucking over. Thank you, you fuckhead, for putting a dark cloud over what should have been one of the greatest periods in the club's history. You fucking spanner.
Stepdad, you want to talk about some of the retiring class of footballers that we're saying goodbye to at the end of the 2021 season?
Yes. Well, they call them the departing class. And so right. What that means is they're departing from the NRL.
Yes.
Which I guess does mean they are retiring from rugby league. Because
even if they're going to the Super League.
Well, you know. Mate, what did you say? Who won the Man of Steel?
Sam Tompkins.
There you fucking go.
Yeah.
There you go. The Man of Steel. So, also the fucking, the thing here.
Aldi Darius Boyd.
I always get shocked every year when this happens. You think about the number of appearances and the amount of time these guys have been playing.
Yeah.
In my head, it seems like no player's ever been playing more than about 4 or 5 years. But fuck, there's some careers in here. Like Leeson Armour, 223 NRL games from 2009 to 2021.
Yep.
In his position, that is a fucking marathon. Dale Copley, same thing, 2009 to 2021.
Yep.
Played for a lot of the Queensland teams and for the Roosters. Boyd Cordner, sad one. Mm. 2011.
Yep, before his time.
To 2020. But he's officially, he's announced his retirement this year, so he's in that class.
Fuck, he jammed a lot of success into a short-ish career by, you know, regular,
yeah, that's
you
it.
Know, career-length standards.
Fucking oath he did. Well, he's, you know, there's, how many, there's him, well, you know, obviously Nathan Cleary's done it now. No, he won't. He won't get the test at the end of the year.
No.
Will he? Fuck. Anthony Don, 2013 to 2021. One club man, how good. General Saunders. General Saunders from 2009. The official stat is 215 games, but I
finished 36.
I think that's just the games he's in. And if you look at the image of him that the NRL have used from his St. George days, he has just splashed some water on his face, and it looks like tears are fucking streaming out of his eyes.
It looks like someone's photoshopped, like someone crying in an anatomically unrealistic way. Yeah.
So we're seeing someone else get the green whistle there. Yeah. Jake Friend, 2008 to 2021. Bit of the Stewie McGill factor there. If he wasn't behind Cameron Smith, probably would have had a lot more rep credit to his name.
Did you just use a cricket analogy?
I did.
He did. He did.
Fuck. What a time to be alive.
I thought you were saying he got kidnapped by his fucking by his brother-in-law over a drug deal.
Oh. Blake Ferguson. Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. R.I.P. Not R.I.P.
Alex Glenn. Gone but not forgotten.
Well, he's forgotten. He's, I'm not going to forget him now because he's a DoorDash driver. Yeah.
Fucking hell. That was fucking horrid.
We got a couple of really good ones, though. Like, Sia Soliola. You want to talk about long fucking careers?
Mm. Yeah.
17 years. And
Blake Green, 2007 to 2021. But only 181 appearances.
Yeah. Cancerous little cunt. Fucking
yeah.
Wow.
Jordan Kahu. Again, before his time, 2013 to 2020. Isaac Luke has officially retired.
Yep.
So, same thing. Didn't play this year.
Mentally, probably 2 years ago, but because yeah. he you know, look, playing a bit part for the Broncos when they win their spoon is no way to remember the end of your career.
That's it. Not winning a ring and having Appy Coruscant have two. It's a fucking great one. How good. Trent Merrin, who, you know, will always have a soft place in my heart for helping to keep Matt Moylan's pipes clean. And Michael Morgan, 2010. The Mozzie brothers, obviously.
See, Morgan, I consider him to be last year.
Mm.
Well, it's saying 2021. Did he play this year?
Oh, I'm sure he pulled the pin. Didn't he pull the pin after last season?
Huh.
Sure he did.
Anyway, he's in this class. The Mozzie brothers.
Yep.
Josh and Brett.
We've sung their praises since the entire fucking duration of this show's been running, most probably. Certainly since 2014.
Justin O'Neill, who probably owes a lot to Craig Bellamy. One for you, Glennie. Your brother from another mother, Russell Packer. How glad are you?
I was going to say, what, Kurt Baptiste's retired?
How thankful are you that you get to celebrate this great man's career because Ivan signed him to your club?
Oh, look, I think Russell Packer got a rough deal, to be quite honest. He got a great deal from the club. They paid him a shitload of money to do three parts of fuck all, but never really fit into Maguire's way of thinking once he arrived, and yeah, what? Unfortunately didn't.
What is Maguire's way of thinking? Don't win?
Look, I think that's part of it.
Find your why and always be in the fucking game. We know this.
Find your why, but along the way, whilst you're looking for your why, if there's some wins there, ignore them.
Fuck.
And maybe, just continue your quest for the why.
Maybe he should have come to training in a Warriors jersey. Would have won best and fairest. How fucking good.
True.
Sorry,
maybe Michael Maguire should have shown up to every training session in every game in a fucking South polo. Would have won the comp.
Well, like one of those grand final winners commemorative t-shirts from after the game.
Soliola, 229 appearances from 2005, Nate. You were right, to 2021. Jesus Christ. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. That's a fucking... Fuck, there's some talent going this year.
Mm. I mean, with Zier as well. I mean, don't forget as well, though, Soliola had tons of appearances in Super League as well.
Mm.
And so he had well over 300 games, you know, by the time it was all said and done.
Yep.
And, you know, won a comp over there too.
Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, 2012 to 2021. That's it. The departing class, fuck, some fucking talent in there.
Benji announced his retirement today too.
We got Benji. Yeah, Benji's the main one.
Oh, he's announced it today.
And look, yeah, I mean, you save him to last because, I mean, he's clearly the biggest, you know, star and, you know, he's a player that's, you very held a special place for this show, but particularly with you, Glennie, though.
Of course.
Give us some Benji thoughts, mate.
Oh, I think he put the West Tigers on the map. There was, you know, before the... It feels at times at the moment like we've come full circle, but the first few years of the West Tigers, we were a fucking scrap heap for guys that were going to retire and couldn't find another club or what it, or you know, so-called marquee signings that were at the tail end of their career. Benji comes along and makes his debut, and there's a fair bit of hype around him coming from Keebra Park, and from the moment he stepped foot on the field in his first game, I still remember some of the runs and the step, and you know, blokes that are seasoned veterans and you know, some fucking quality footballers with absolutely no fucking clue how to defend him. He's there and he just teleports. And watching him develop over the years, obviously 2005, and what he did that season, and through the final series in particular, he had big moments in every single game, culminating in the grand final, obviously, with the flick pass. And yeah, it's a shame that, you know, he's had a couple of exits from the Tigers, and I think the first one, when he went to rugby, I think Benji was very much ingrained in that players running the club and had an air of arrogance about him, and how he handled himself wasn't super impressive at the time. And then as is well documented, once he went through the Dragons and then the Broncos, there was an element of, you know, maturity and age, and he came back to the Tigers, and you know, he was obviously heading towards the twilight of his career, but he still had some fantastic performances, and I think if he plays for the Tigers this year, he's still probably our best player. He's copped a ribbing for the kicks out on the full and the passes into the fucking grandstand.
What is it with Tigers players and wearing non-West Tigers jerseys in grand finals in 2021.
It's very true. But no, he's it's a shame with his most recent exit that he wasn't sort of treated better in some ways, or it wasn't handled better by the club given the legacy that he's left there. But that is what it is, and he's you know, there's not too many players that you can say, you know, when they're coming up or when they're in there, you know, bursting onto the scene, that kids are watching them and they want to play like that guy. You know, there's only a select group of players that fit that category, and Benji's certainly one of those. So.
Yeah.
Some great, great fucking memories.
It is interesting, though, how common that is, though. Like, now, with Art being of that age, Pappenhausen's massive amongst the kids. Cleary's obviously massive amongst the kids. But they've still got the heroes these days. I think the most flattering thing I can say about Benji Marshall is Benji Marshall actually means to the Tigers what Robbie Farah thinks Robbie Farah means to the Tigers.
Yeah.
So,
agreed.
My biggest appreciation for Benji is how well he copped his Dragons exit.
Mm.
Because that was a sliding doors moment, and that was, do I throw a hissy fit and retire and just, you know, never do anything ever again? Or do I swallow this obviously bitter pill and go to Wayne Bennett's team and for a role that I understand is cover for State of Origin and to be helpful at training?
Yep.
You know, that showed some fucking massive humility, which I think gave him an extra 3 years in his career.
Mm. And Nate, you'll remember some of the comments from Grant Mayer that come back to us when Benji was exiting the Tigers during that time. And, you know, knowing that information, he didn't handle himself that great.
No.
And the Tigers, in the end, probably had to draw a line in the sand. But you can't deny what he's done for the club. And as I said, he put him on the map initially, and it was fucking delivered him a premiership. So,
yep.
Yeah,
it's a fucking legend.
My big Benji memory is when I used to do that Sea Eagles live account on Twitter. I used to live tweet Manly games, and Manly were playing the Dragons when Benji was there. And they, you know, when they're coming back, they're going to a commercial break, but they're coming back for the second half of the game. And the commentator or one of the people doing the halftime show said something like, you know, coming back from the break, we're going to have some big news about Benji Marshall. And I tweeted out, there's going to be some big news about Benji Marshall. Spoiler alert, he's shit. And then Sportsbet grabbed a bunch of tweets and did one of those mean tweets sort of episodes, like a ripoff of Jimmy Kimmel's show. And they actually had Benji read that tweet out, and he took it very well and had a great laugh about it. So I thought, if you can laugh at that sort of shit, then, you know, because some players, like, they can't laugh about, you know, like, and celebrities, they can't laugh about that shit at all. Like, they try and pass it off, but they take it, you know. But he had a good laugh about it. So I thought, yeah.
Although, here's the thing, though, you know. Benji Marshall's career and Twitter turning into a fucking cesspool of, you know, either just toxic or humourless cunts mirror exactly. And my favourite new TikTok account this week,
yeah,
is one called These Things Shouldn't Match. And it's this statistician who goes and plots all these data points and finds, like, exactly matching stat curves for things that just have no relationship at all. Like,
the example
is the average house price in America.
Yep.
And the average number of blocks of cheese consumed per annum by an American citizen. match each other perfectly.
Just the arc of the hockey stick.
That's it. So, like it's through waves and ups and downs, and essentially, cheese was the reason for the financial crisis.
Sorry, how do we tie that to Benji? How's that go? How does that get tied?
So Benji Marshall's career and its prominence has declined at the same rate as Twitter.com.
Yeah. Yeah, but Twitter hasn't had that late career 3-year redemption arc either.
Oh, it's had half a redemption arc, but now it's kicked out on the fall today.
Yeah. To me, like the graph of Twitter is like a fucking lowercase letter N. It's just like fucking goes up in the middle and then boof, down to zero again. Absolutely fucking shit show. All right, let's hit some mailbag questions. You guys put some questions in this week's first one. Coming from Daniel said, Stepdad's Broncos/Bennett rant speaks to me. And he did like the love heart eyes emoji. The Donkeys really have become one of the bigger cuck meme clubs at the comp. And the signings they've made for next year won't make much difference. Maybe Reynolds aside. How the mighty have fallen. Hashtag fuck the Broncos.
Thank you. It resonates with me as well. And I would also like to point out that the only people that I've spoken to that don't have a problem with the whole Dane Laurie situation and are like, oh, it's the fucking club he supported growing up, just let him support who he wants, I don't care as long as he puts in on the field, happen to be Broncos fans that were cheering for Wayne Bennett in the grand final. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, remember, I said before the game that, like, one of the narratives, you know, the potential winning narratives of the game for me, I mean, yeah, because there were things like, you know, if Penrith won, great, I've got tons of friends to support Penrith, blah, 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 you know, then, but if Souths win, then I've got, you know, like the triggering of the Broncos fan base by Wayne winning a premiership outside of Brisbane again.
But I am so glad you didn't have that narrative taken away from you. Can you imagine if that happened and they were all like, no, we're actually really happy for you.
Like, this is a win for us. This is a win for the people of Brisbane as well.
Yeah. He'll always have a special place in our hearts. So you're right. Fuck those guys.
Ryan says, I just want to throw out a huge thanks to you boys for all the laughs throughout the year. I look forward to the episodes every week, and the banter and interaction with this group is awesome. Keep up the good work, boys, as always. Hashtag fuck the Broncos.
Legend.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Dale says, Fury v. Wilder. Who you got and what round? Okay, so he's talking about Fury versus Wilder 3.
Nick Fury versus Van Wilder.
Sort of, except the colours of the skins are reversed in this in the scenario that's actually happening. And you remember that the first fight was a classic where it looked like Fury had just been knocked out and he fucking, you know, got up off the ground like the Undertaker, you know, from what should have been a knockout, and you know, ultimately that fight ended in a stalemate. Then they come back for the rematch and Fury knocks Wilder out, you know, fairly early in the fight, and it looked amazing. So they come, this is the third fight. And look, I think that while Fury could certainly knock Wilder out again, I think that you would have to assume that Wilder will improve or be better enough.
Have you seen the photos of that?
For that to not happen? No, I haven't. Oh. He's looking great.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, like I saw it. So I think he'll be able to stay upright, and while you know Wilder has that kind of, you know, fucking nuclear power that can, you know, knock a guy out with one punch, he's also done that to Fury, and he survived it, and so I don't think that either of them are going to put the other one away. I mean, like, you know, Fury is a complete package and everything like that. He can defend himself. He's shown he's got the power to do the job, and he can outbox. He can outbox Wilder, no problem. I think that that Tyson Fury will win via decision.
Yeah, I agree.
Is my prediction. Look, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Fury, you know, Fury can get him with a big shot, but he doesn't throw many punches either, though. Wilder sort of loads up. and he doesn't have that kind of work rate. So if it comes to a points decision, he's not gonna get it. And I don't know, even though he's got the immense power, he's hit Fury with his best, and Fury got up from the dead from that. So I don't know if he's going to put him away. So I'm going to say Fury decision. The more you put on, the more you get back. Joshua says, at the risk of sounding like the Storm supporters after the last stepdad rant, but from my perspective, there's a difference between the general cuck Brisbane population / casuals bandwagoning with the Bennett-led Rabbalos and the actual Brisbane Broncos fans. Just like the Knights fans, who were rightly just as dirty with their own post-Bennett situation, the fact that he salted the earth here twice destroyed any love the fans here have for him. Although a lot of Broncos fans are massive gronks, they support the team with the same energy as the two diehard Penrith supporters mentioned last episode, and hate Bennett.
Nope.
I guess everyone's just speaking to their own experience there.
Yes, and my experience
I'm glad you know passionate Broncos fans, Josh.
All of the ones that I've had that were Wayne huggers or Wayne truthers are some of the most passionate Broncos fans you will ever encounter. Like, the only thing that stops them from having Darren Lockyer's face tattooed on their foreskin is time. So, like, as soon as there's a public holiday.
Right.
Yeah.
Another Joshua. He talks about the white powder again. Why don't they just say it was coke? What white powder could be a better alternative to cocaine? Is it just so the fuzz don't get involved? Yes, yeah, I think it's exactly so the fuzz don't get involved.
Correct.
It sounds stupid to every person that sees it. I mean, while it protects them kind of legally by not admitting to coke and they weren't tested, so that it's, they can't say it was. Of course it sounds stupid to say white powder.
Yeah.
But they don't have to say anything else. There's no test.
Although, then there was the other thing, though. This is what I've thought. Now, any legals in the listenership, please fucking correct us here. But even if they said that they believed that the substance was cocaine, or they were informed that the substance was cocaine, or if they were drug tested and found to be positive for cocaine, it would be hard to prove that what was in the bag is cocaine. Whereas in Reece Walsh's case, the bag would have been taken by the police and tested forensically.
Yeah.
So that he could have been prosecuted and said, this is cocaine.
Or Reece Walsh was just talking nonstop and not shutting up about his eyebrow and eyeliner regime, and they just realised, yeah, this cunt is gacked out of his mind.
Don't ask the copper to start a business with you.
Give your email address. Fucking next time you come over to Auckland.
Are you on LinkedIn? Let's connect.
We've met those guys, haven't we?
God.
That is full time for episode 439, folks. Thanks for listening. As always, to find links to our various social media communities, Patreon and more, head to thisweekinleague.com/links. If you'd like to support the show, make sure you drop us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend, bring them into the group on Facebook as well. And of course, you can find our Patreon at patreon.com/TwillNation. Come join the fun. Additional episodes and episodes continuing all through the off season of the main show. And just with that, thisweekinleague.com/links, up there will be an additional link later this week for the 2021 Twilly Awards. They'll be up there by the end of the week, by Friday, I would imagine, which will give you a full week to vote. And with the Twilly Awards being on Friday week, which just opening up my calendar now to figure out when the fuck that is, that would be the 15th of October. So it'll be on the evening of the 15th of October, probably kicking off around 9-ish, I would imagine. 10 now daylight savings in place. It'll be 10 a.m. for the daylight savings states. 10 p.m. sorry, for the daylight savings states. And yes, I look forward to those as well. And look, we may, in the Facebook group, there may be some questions asked over the next day or two, just in terms of some nominees for categories and things like that. But I'd say the first place we're going to be doing it is in the Patreon. Give those guys first crack at some of the categories where we do need a little bit more input. But expect those to be live by Friday night, giving a week, if not more, to vote.
Sweet as.
Fantastic.
Right, fellas, that is all I have for the episode. Any closing words?
No.
Easy.
Greatest premiership winning season of all time. 2022 will be the defence of the greatest premiership of all time. So I can't wait to remind everyone of that. I appreciate you guys telling me that you forgot so easily. So I will be sure to help you remember. That sort of helpful individual I am.
Great. I can't wait for that. But and also going forward, are we agreed that the Sunday episode this week coming up will be a Q&A extravaganza?
Yes.
All right, so there you have it. The Sunday episode, there will be a mailbag opened, and we'll probably open it up tomorrow and fill it up, folks, for Sunday Q&A spectacular, and that one will take us through into the Twillies to end our season.
I just hope to one day be as happy as Dane Laurie looked in that car in his Penrith jersey. That's all I have.
All right.
See
you on Sunday.
Later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.